into teams of warriors. Gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to the debut episode of the Golden Point, Rugby League's newest podcast. My name's JC and I'm here with Mac. Hello, Mac.
Hey, JC.
Tonight we're going to go over the first Teamless Tuesday of the year, our season predictions. We're going to have a game of 20 questions and we'll finish up with Mac's two-minute rant. First of all, we're going to jump into our favourite moments from last year. Mac.
All right. I think my favourite moment from last year would be that length of the field Broncos try against the Raiders. The thing I liked about it the most was it actually made Wayne Bennett show some emotion, which just I don't think I've ever seen before in my life. I think his lip actually went up, which was quite amazing.
Yeah.
But I love a good length of the field try. Like, you don't get any better than what we saw there, and I think it's going to be hard to beat. Other moments are always the Cowboys winning the grand final. Like, you can't get past that. The way that ended in normal time was just amazing. It just, yeah, it got better. How about you, Jesse?
Absolutely. I've gone a bit off book, and I haven't chosen one exact moment. I've got more so gone with the Sharks season.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was pretty remarkable. I don't think many people picked it. I think just a few things. Obviously, Jack Bird coming through, Valentine Holmes. He'd obviously played a couple of seasons beforehand, but I think it was his big year. Ennis, I think, also. Just making the Blues again, even though it wasn't a great end. I think he probably had one of his best seasons he's had in a long, long time. And also the fact that they did it without Gallen for a lot of it. He was obviously missing in action for a lot of the season, which is not unusual to Sharks fans. But to really reach the semi-finals, I think that's quite significant for the Sharks. So, and if I have to pick a moment, I'm gonna pick the Sharks winning their first finals game in quite a while versus South.
No, I think it was a great moment. I remember, I think we were at that game, yeah. And just the Sharks fans, they showed up. They were there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were there in force, and it was great to see.
Yeah, it is good to see when a team that hasn't necessarily done too well over the previous seasons, to their fans to be so passionate and get behind them still.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to team lists. I'll get you to get the ball
start
rolling.
Start off with Parramatta against the Broncos. First of all, the thing that stands out the most, they're just two like very strong teams. Like, these are two teams I can see having very, very strong seasons. Parramatta have brought very well. They have four players on debut, and they're four known players. Like, you've got Jennings, you've got Foran, to name the two superstars they brought in. And they've just got those guys that have been coming up, like Tepe Morella and people like that. I thought I really wanted to see Bevan French get a go after the Nines, but you can understand why he got left out.
Yeah.
And also Greg Eden's making his debut. He's made a bit of noise coming over from, I think it was Wigan. And yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do.
Absolutely. So then we move on to Friday night with Manly and the Dogs. I don't think there was too many surprise selections. I think obviously the Dogs not having Morris there. Asked a few questions of Haslow and he went with Hopewade over Abbey. I don't think it was a huge surprise in the end. It was a little bit disappointing, I think. I think it would be good to see Hopewade staying in the centres where he's going to play the majority of the season. So I think for me, I would have preferred to see them blood Abbey and keep Hopper in the centres. Also, Adam Elliott making his debut from the bench as well. I think he's done very well in New South Wales Cup for quite a few seasons now, so hopefully he does get the call up.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Sean Lane was there in 19, which they did a couple of times last year.
Yeah, and Flalo as well, which was a bit of a shock selection. Good to see Lloyd Perrott didn't get called up this week. So obviously, I mean, you have to take the dog selection with a grain of salt, though, being Des Hasler, being the coach there, so obviously
the great magician.
You don't really get the Bulldogs team list Tuesday until an hour before kickoff, so
absolutely.
Who knows what will change.
Yeah. Okay, now moving on to the Raiders and the Panthers. The first thing that stood out to me was Austin on the bench. I do not know what Ricky Stewart is thinking with that. He was the heart and soul of their team last year, and if he's not playing 80 minutes, I think they're just losing everything they have that they can get out of him.
Absolutely.
You know, he's someone I think should play Origin this year, if not sooner, and maybe they're hoping he'll get that shot off the bench, but I don't know. Sam Williams, to me, compared to Austin, you know who you've got to go for. The second one was Whitehead, another Englishman, making his debut. There's been a lot of talk about him, saying he's just a workhorse. He's a guy that's going to absolutely kill it over there. And with the interchange dropping as well, apparently he can play 80 minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I thought that Merrin being picked at lock was a bit of a surprise, because everyone's been saying front row. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have people like Elijah. Well, they have people like Elijah Taylor that can play lock, and, you know, the selection's a bit weird. Isaiah Yeo, I think, is a great player, but I think coming off the bench, he's probably better used. But yeah, we'll see what way they go.
Yeah, I think the Raiders one is definitely the biggest question mark of the.
I had to read it twice. It
was. I don't know. I don't know if sneaky Ricky is just pulling one over on us, but Sam Williams must have just been training the house down all preseason to knock.
I think he would be shocked to get picked there. I think he'd go and ask Ricky if it's true. Like,
There's something going on there. Like, yeah. It's not black on white. There's no way that Sam Williams has beat Austin to the pros. Yeah. There's just no way. We'll move on to the Tigers-Warriors. Again, I didn't think there was too many selection shocks. We have Jordan Rankin coming back to the NRL. He's taking Pat Richards' spot on the wing for the Tigers, that's... so that should be interesting. Obviously, he made his debut many years ago as a 16-year-old.
That's right, yeah.
So he's hopefully matured a little bit. the big one, I think, for this game is Johnson at 5'8". It's not a shock, but it's obviously a bit of a change for the Warriors. I think he's still going to play like a halfback.
It's just a number.
It's going to be a right and a left halfback. I don't think there's too much to fret over for any Warriors fans. I think the biggest one was probably Ashford beating out Harrell to the centre spot. He had a mixed nines, Ashford.
He's had a mixed few years.
So Harrell, obviously, he fell out of favour a little bit at the Warriors last year. So obviously that's carrying over. But I don't think it'll be too long before we see Harrell back in the Warriors team.
Yeah, because there was talk during the nines that Harrell has slimmed down as well. And he's put on some muscle. He's taking it seriously for the first time in his career.
I saw an article maybe yesterday that said he's training the house down and he is the most consistent at training of any Warriors player.
Yeah, and he's the sort of guy that when he's not training the house down, he's going to run over people. So absolutely. I don't see how you can leave him out of the team. But I guess I'm not Andrew McFadden. So. All right, so we'll move on to the Cowboys and Sharks. The first one, which everyone knows about, is the fact that it's the same grand final team, which is unheard of. I think that's a great story.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the first time that's ever happened.
And it's like you have to give them a chance to go back to back because of that, because they've been able to hold that core together. Lachlan Cooch is going to get better. Jonathan Thurston. You know, Michael Morgan really had a breakout year last year, and he's improving every day.
Yeah.
So they're going to be really interesting. The Sharks, naming Barber at fullback, I thought was really surprising. I would have had him off the bench personally and put Bird at fullback. I think you put Bird at centre and you're limiting him to one side of the field. You need him everywhere. I think either fullback or lock for him. In my opinion, I'd put Gallen in the front row, but that's just me.
Yeah. I'd like to think that Barber can reclaim the form that he found in 2012.
I'd love to see that, yeah. I don't know. I feel like he, in terms of the selection headache that Flanagan had between Barber, Bird, and Holmes, I think Barber on the bench made the most sense out of those three.
I just think for him to get that form, he needs to be playing consistent football and he needs to be playing big minute football.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to find that kind of form playing 20 minutes, 30 minutes here and there. I think if Flanagan gives him a position and says, "This is your position to lose," he's got a better chance of finding his top form. But it was I think all off season everyone was talking about Bird at fullback, so it was definitely a surprise.
Yeah.
Next up, Roosters South, the rivalry.
Yeah, always
Sydney,
a good
big
game.
Sydney rivalry, Allianz there. We've got Latrell Mitchell making his debut on the wing. Yeah. Should be very interesting to see how he goes.
I thought that was interesting that Burgess didn't get the run over him.
Obviously Burgess is the big signing for the Roosters in the off season, so doesn't say much about their recruitment department, does it? But look, I think from everything I've been hearing, Mitchell is a superstar in the waiting. So
he had a great preseason. And they did the same thing with Tuivasa-Sheck as well, I guess, bringing him in on the wing. But
yeah, very true point. Cody Walker making his debut for South is a noticeable inclusion there. Obviously, isn't a huge surprise with Keary being out suspended. But it should be interesting to see how he goes. He's obviously had a lot of success in the Intra-Super Cup, so it would be good to see how he goes. Burgess back in the team after his stint at rugby. Picked at 8, which I thought was pretty surprising. Kyle Turner absolutely. Picked at lock. It doesn't matter where Burgess plays. If he's on the field, he's Sam Burgess.
Well, Tom's injured at the moment as well.
Tom and George are both out.
Oh, they're both out.
One's injured, one's suspended. Can't tell the difference between them, so I'm not going to try. But I think the biggest shock for me, maybe not for everyone, is McInnes getting the spot over Cook. I think it's a mistake by South. I think they've done right by McInnes because obviously it was his position until they bought Cook late. But Cook had a fantastic nines and pre-season, I thought. And he's just a talent.
I think from when Cook came in for the Bulldogs last year, since that point, I've not seen him play a bad game. He tackles everything. He's there in support. He's throwing great passes, like great service for his halves. He's a true football player.
And he has to be the quickest hooker in the game.
Absolutely.
His 25, 30-meter sprint, it's fast.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll move on to the Titans and the Knights, the big game.
That's grand final come round one, really, isn't it?
I think the story I like out of it for the Titans in particular is Parsi being named on the starting side. He just, the nines, I cannot believe how well he played for a front row.
Played the tournament for me.
Absolutely. He was everywhere. And I really hope he continues it for the season. I think he's going to be a guy that could have a really, really good season and could get a lot of press and be a good story for the Titans, who are a team that's just hard done by.
They could do with a good story.
I could not feel more sorry for the Titans. and the Knights naming 5 debutants. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I think it's a ballsy move, but I think it actually is one that's going to pay off for them. I think they're going to have a decent season. But,
I think 7 new players overall with the 2 recruits in the offseason.
Yeah,
so
might be a rough start to the season with all those pieces gelling together, but I like a coach that's not afraid to name a rookie. You know, I think it's important to do.
Yeah.
Mamo. I don't know if he's injured or not. I haven't heard anything about him being injured, but he's a guy who I definitely have in my 17 if I was them. I'd pick him over Chanel Matautia, but again, I'm not the coach. another talking point of that match is seeing the impact that Hodkinson has. I think he's going to help Mullen so much in terms of having that proper half there just to steady the ship, and it'll be interesting to see how they go.
It should be good to see how Hodgkinson goes without the big pack behind him that he had at the Bulldogs. It should tell us, I guess, what kind of a player he really is.
He's a guy that's not, well, you know, everyone criticising him, I think. Even late for the Blues, after he won it, he still, people said he didn't do anything, you know.
Yeah.
Despite what he did in Game 2, and, like, I mean, I'm biased because I'm a Blues supporter, but it's, you know, he's a player who I think does a lot that people don't see.
Yeah, he does a lot behind the scenes, I think. And I think there's a good chance we might see that with how the Bulldogs go at the start of the year.
Yeah.
We saw it at the back end of last year. Mabai wasn't the organiser that Hodgkinson was, and it showed. It did show. So,
exactly.
You know, that's something that he can bring to the Knights, and best of luck to him.
Yeah.
So our final game, our Monday night football, everyone's favourite night of football. We've got Melbourne versus the Dragons. The only two ones that I really picked out of this were Hampton on the bench. We don't normally see Bellamy go for a utility on the bench. I think last time we saw it was probably Cooper Cronk 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
They've come out and said that he's going to be like the next Hinchcliffe for that team. Like, he's going to be the guy who'll come off and play some hooker, play some, you know, a bit of everywhere.
I guess the difference being that he's more of a back utility than a forward utility, which, you know, but maybe that's just because of the new rules brought in, change rules and whatnot.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I think Dugan and Laffey in the centres for the Dragons should be a very interesting thing to see.
Good centre pairing.
Two fantastic centres. And obviously Dugan moving to the centres full-time, moving away from fullback, which he's played for New South Wales and for the Dragons for a while. Outside of that, I didn't see any big inclusions from that game.
Going back to Hampton just quickly,
yeah.
Where do you reckon he plays when he comes on?
Oh, don't know.
Yeah,
no, why it's a surprise for me. Yeah. I don't know what Bellamy's thinking. Really.
The only thing I can think of is maybe Hooker.
Yeah,
and maybe moving Blake Green to lock and him come on and play some 5-8.
I just don't see any reason for it.
Exactly.
Blake Green had a phenomenal season last year. He had a fantastic nines. Obviously, nines isn't the same game, but. I think Blake Green needs to play 80 minutes at number six.
He showed that sort of potential last year.
He has come on in leaps and bounds since his return from the Super League. For me, he's one of my favourite players to watch at the moment. So I don't know. I don't know what Bellamy's thinking with Hampton there. Maybe he's just keeping Blake Green on his toes. So
yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. We'll have a quick run through of the games and get our tips.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Para Broncos. I had Broncos winning that one. I think it will be close, but I think Para has too many new pieces to really come take on the Broncos starting right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think Foran's coming in with an injury cloud as well. I think, like you said, I think it might take him a week or two to gel. So Broncos for me. Manly Dogs. I've gone the Dogs. I think the same thing for Manly, really. They bought big in the off season, and they've got a lot of pieces of the puzzle to put together, so it'll give them a week or two, but I think Dogs for this one.
I think I'd go Manly for that one, to be honest. I think Hopewade at fullback just turns me off the Dogs completely. I think they just lose all that support they need, and Chase Stanley I like, but I think they're going to struggle a bit in the early rounds. So then we have the Raiders and the Panthers. For that one, I've gone for the Panthers. I think that Raiders picking Austin on the bench, for one, I just immediately went, oh, what's happening here? And sort of thought the Panthers, I think, will come in reasonably well. I think Merrin's going to help them a lot. And I think, they've got a good side. If it wasn't for injuries last year, they could have had a decent season.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go the Raiders for that one. I think the Raiders have got a fantastic upcoming team. I think there's more to the Austin situation than what it seems on paper.
I hope so.
I don't see him playing low minutes in that game. I think also no Moylan for the Panthers is a big loss. Will Smith playing at fullback, he doesn't add much attacking flair to the team. So.
It's true, yeah. No, he struggles a bit. He was good last year at the back end of the season, but yeah, definitely isn't your top range fullback.
No. So we got the Tigers Warriors next. For that one, I'm going to go the Warriors. I don't think there's any question to that, really. I think Warriors are going to blow them off the park.
I'm going to struggle to tip the Tigers this year. It's just I feel sorry for them. But
the only chance the Tigers have is Blake Ashford drops the ball over the line 14 times,
which, I mean, it's a possibility.
it's a very high possibility. Yeah. But outside of that, look, I think the Tigers could be looking at a disappointing season.
Yeah, absolutely. So next up we have the Cowboys and the Sharks. Can't look past the Cowboys. Grand final team. They've got to be riding it high.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. I think Sharks, they got a great chance this year, but look, Cowboys are the Cowboys.
Yeah.
We've got Roosters South next, the Derby. It's a tight one, but look, I think South are gonna pip the Roosters here. I think Roosters have had so much drama in the off season. They've got an untested halves pairing, a couple of debutants coming in. So look for me, South.
Yeah, I think South win big personally. I really do think, like, the injuries they've had in the off season, Mitchell Pearce returning just now to sort of, I guess, take focus away from everyone, I think is really going to give them some trouble. And that brings us to the Titans and the Knights. Going with the Titans on this one, which is a bit of a surprise, mainly because of how many debutants the Knights have. But, and also, I'm hoping Parsi will just destroy everyone and be man of the match, but I think it'll be a tight one. A lot of drop ball.
I see 4-0 scoreline. I'll go with the Titans as well. I think I agree with you. I think the Knights, they're blooding them, but I think maybe it'll take a few games for those guys to really hit their mark. So I think the Titans, I'd love to see Parsi have a man of the match effort as well.
Yeah.
And our last game of the round, Melbourne versus the Dragons. I'm going to have to go the Storm here. I think Dragons are in a similar boat as the Knights, Tigers, whatnot. I don't see them having a fantastic season. Yeah. They don't have a bad team across the board. They got decent halves when Marshall wants to turn up and not flick the ball every two sets. But look, Melbourne are Melbourne are a solid team, and I don't see the Dragons having much of a chance at all, really.
No, neither can I. I really do think Marshall and Widdup just isn't a Haas pairing that works. I think they're both decent players, Widdup in particular, but no, I can't see them doing much.
All right, moving on to some predictions for the year. Okay. So we'll look at our top four, our bottom four. Dally M, surprise club, and a disappointing club. So I'll hand the mic over to you, Mac.
All right. So number one, I've gone with the Broncos. I think, like, James Roberts is coming in there, it pretty much nullifies the Justin Hodges loss. They have a great team. You know, you look at them from 1 to 17, and they're a team that's just complete. Number two, I have a bit of a shock in the Seagulls. I think they have bought incredibly well. I thought it was definitely a shock of them, playing line in the centres, which I actually was a fan of. They played Dylan Walker at 5'8", which I think is just a bit bizarre, but I still think they're gonna have a really good season overall, even if they keep that 1-17 in their name this week. At number three, I put the Cowboys. I think, as we said, same 17 from last year. They'll be a good team. And number four, the Rabbitohs. I think with Burgess back, you know, you can't look past them.
All right. Yeah. Look, not too much of a different top four for me. I've gone Broncos number one as well. I think they'll have a pretty similar year to last year. Wayne Bennett doesn't have many bad years, except when he's coaching the Knights. I don't think that's all his fault, though. Number two, I've gone the Cowboys. Again, same 17 as last year. They're going to hopefully hold that 17 for most of the season, too. I think it's going to be very, very tight between Brisbane and Cowboys. I can easily see it being one of those two. I've gone Manly number three, so not too dissimilar from you. Again, like you said, they've bought fantastically well. As long as Trent Barrett can get that combination working between those players, then I don't see there being any reason why they can't be a top four team. Yeah. Also, the fitness of a few players. I think Brett Stewart needs to have a good year injury-wise. He's aging, but he's still a very, very important player to Manly. And I've gone Warriors number four.
Okay.
Really, really like the Warriors team this year. I think their spine... It has all the right components of success. You've got Johnson, who we don't need to talk about. You've got Tuivasa-Sheck, who we don't need to talk about. You've got Isaac Luke, who we don't need to talk about. And I think the unsung hero, Jeff Robson. I think he was a huge reason the Sharks did so well last year.
Absolutely.
He's the Trent Hodgkinson type player.
Yep.
He's the guy that does the stuff behind the scenes. That he's not going to win you tons of games, but he will do all the right things right.
Exactly right, yeah.
So that's my top four. Moving on to bottom fours.
Okay, at number 13, I have the Roosters. I think particularly in the first half of the season, they're going to struggle big time.
Yeah.
And I just can't see them doing much. I think they're in a rebuilding year. They've had a lot of success recently, but just this is not their year. At number 14, I have the Dragons. I like the Dragons. It's hard to pick them there, but I think Dugan moving in the centre is going to be bad for them overall. Like, you know, we don't know really what Kurt Mann's going to be able to do, but, you know, and just Benji being Benji, unfortunately. Yeah. And 15, I have the Titans. I think it speaks for itself. You know, they've got a few new people coming in, but really just a team that, as I said, has had some bad luck recently that I think they're going to need a year or two to rebuild from. And last but not least, the Tigers.
Shock.
That poor team that is really just... Oh, like, even when Farrah comes in, it's going to be a question mark. So if he's going to play 80, if he's happy with Jason Taylor, if Jason Taylor's happy with him.
Oh, they're not.
Yeah, it's
there's
exactly.
There's no doubt to it, really, is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think number 13 for me was the hardest one to pick out of the whole comp, because I think there's 13 teams in the comp that can make the eight. I think it was very difficult. I don't think we'll know who the bottom four will be until maybe the last couple of rounds. So, look, I've gone the Panthers. I'm mainly just basing this on last season. I don't know how Soward and Wallace are going to go.
I don't think they'll last the season together. Like,
yeah, it's not looking likely.
Injuries will either come up or Marden will come in.
Forced injuries, crowbars, yeah. look, I hope the Panthers do better, but if I have to be honest, I don't think they will.
They're a team people love to love, but
I think it's quite common knowledge that Moylan's going to move to the halves at some point this season, which I think is just a huge, huge mistake.
Not everyone is Darren Lockyer. Darren Lockyer is Darren Lockyer.
Exactly right. I mean, they set a precedent with Lockyer, and Lockyer was the right move. He needed to do that. His career progressed to that point. He'd done everything he could at fullback, and he evolved into a different player. But now, anyone that's a good fullback, they're just looking to move them on.
Fullback and pass.
It makes no sense to me. I think Moylan has shown that he's not that great in the line.
Yeah, no, he's an amazing... Sorry, I'll let you finish.
Oh, no, look, he's good as a supporting player in the line. He's not a playmaker.
Exactly.
He's got to learn that trade, and he's not there yet. So.
His kicking game is also just all over the place, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's abysmal at times. Number 14, I've gone the Knights. I think that will have a rough year. I think Knights are definitely in a rebuilding phase. Okay. Hopefully these new debutants on the scene do well for them. But look, I don't see them doing much this year. I've gone the Titans, number 15. Feel bad for the Titans. Everyone does. But yeah, look, I can't see them going much higher. I think they're going to go through a lot of changes in their 17, and I think that's their biggest downfall every single year. They don't know who they want to play where. Elgie out for the year. That's a fantastic start to the season, isn't it? I don't rate Tyrone Roberts as a halfback.
He looks scared all the time.
He looks like a scared baby.
Yeah, he really does.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
And I think Ash Taylor is untested yet. So, look, hopefully he comes on the scene and is some huge revelation. He's obviously got raps on him, but hopefully he can do something. And I think they're recruiting. I don't know what they're thinking. They've got about four or five hookers in their team. So they don't know what to do with them there. I see them throwing Daniel Mourner around all year. Who knows what they'll do with him. I don't see them doing too much. Tigers I've put at last, 16th place. Again, what can we say about the Tigers? They don't have much going for them. They've leaked their best players, I think. They've still got Aaron Woods there, who's a fantastic player. And they got Tedesco. But outside of those two, I don't have huge hopes for them. So
Mitchell Moses showed some flashes last year, but... you need more than some flashes to...
I don't see much with Mitchell Moses. I think he's the better of the two out of him and Brooks, but I don't rate them as a halves pairing too much.
From everything I've seen on social media, news websites, everything, everyone has the Tigers tipped as last, and the Titans not far off.
Oh, there's a reason for it. You've got to look at their squads and their coaches, and that's their first problem.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on to Dally M predictions.
I've gone with Dally Cherry Evans. Yeah, Dally to get the Dally.
Dally the Dally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a newspaper's dream.
It really is, yeah. Imagine the puns. I think he's going to have a great team around him. I think the fact that Foran isn't there means he's going to have to do more, which means he'll get those 3 points each week that they win. And I just think he's a fantastic player that had a bit of a rough year last year.
Yeah, not a bad choice at all, I don't think. I've gone Ben Hunt, but I've also put a bit of a stroke here and put JT, because I think we could come close to seeing another Ty Dally M. It's hard to split those two guys.
I wanted to go Ben Hunt. I really did, I'm so worried that drop ball is just going to be in his head throughout the entire year.
Look, we'll know soon enough. Yeah. We'll know in the first couple of rounds. We'll probably know in the first game. Hopefully he catches that first ball and that's the end of it.
I just think every kickoff he'll hear that whistle and he'll just flashback.
It will be very tough for him. It will be. But look, I think he is that good of a player that he can get over that.
I think so. It
takes moments like that to really shape a player. He's had his moment. It's time for him to move forward.
Yeah.
Okay, on to surprising club and disappointing club.
Surprisingly, with the Knights, I think they have a lot of young guys coming through, which I don't think is a bad thing, as I said before. I think Hodkinson is going to be a big difference maker for them. And by surprise, I don't mean top four by any means, but I think everyone's got them tipped in the bottom four, and I think they'll sneak into the eight or be not far off.
Okay.
And Nathan Brown coming back, he was hard done by the Dragons, I thought, so I'm thinking they'll do all right.
All right, I've gone Canberra. I don't know if it's too much of a surprise because I think a lot of people are backing them to do well, but I think they will. I think they'll push for the top four.
I'm
a big fan of Blake Austin, and I think they've bought well. They bought well from the English Super League over the last couple of years, which a lot of teams you know, they don't necessarily look as far as England. But
Josh
I think
Hodgson's
done
been amazing for them.
He was fantastic last year.
Yeah.
One of the better hookers in the game last year, I thought. So, for me, yeah, Canberra. I think they'll have a very good year. And obviously, Jared Croker, future Australian great, New South Wales legend. His day will come.
I hope so.
All right, so disappointing club.
I've gone with the Sharks.
Okay.
I feel bad for saying it. I honestly do, but it just... I don't like the Barber selection at fullback. Whether that will last the entire season or not is another question. I think they get affected too much by Origin. I think Gallen and Lewis and players like that just have too much trouble staying healthy. And Maloney, I'm not a huge fan of. I think he can struggle a lot. I liked him a lot when he was at the Warriors, but after his years at the Roosters, I think he's lost a step.
Yeah. Okay. I could see it. I hope it doesn't come true.
Yeah, no.
But I could see it.
Yeah.
I've gone the Rabbitohs. I think a lot of people are putting them up there to be definitely in the top eight, if not higher. I don't see it. I think they won their premiership in 2014, and I think it's a bit more of a slope for them now before they get back on top. I think Burgess will be a big inclusion for them this season, but yeah, I just don't see it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, so look. Who knows? They might surprise us. Well, they might surprise me, I guess. Everyone else thinks they're going to do well except me.
Sam Burgess came back and everyone just jumped on his back and said, yeah, okay.
That's
we're riding you to the premiership.
Yeah. Look, I think in 2014, they obviously had, what was it, 20, 30 years of wanting that title again. So they had that pushing them forward. And I think after they won it, they did just lose something with that. I think Kiri has more problems internally with the club than we know. Obviously, obviously he had his issues with Crow, but you know, there's been talks that him and Maguire have got their issues as well. And looking at the future, he might not still be with the Rabbitohs, so we don't know. There's obviously going to be the battle between McInnes and Cook, and that could cause rifts between players.
I guess I could see it. Like, I mean, I haven't named a number four, and I think they're going to have a similar season to what they had in 2014, was it, when they won it? Yeah, it was, you know, where they sort of, I guess they just hung out in the back for a little bit and then a good racehorse ran on home.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they'll have a similar season, not as good though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look at 2014, they didn't even have a phenomenal season, they turned it on when they needed to, so who knows. All right, we'll move on to 20 questions, the segment everyone's been looking forward to.
Yeah, this is one where I get embarrassed.
Yeah, well, let's hope not, but obviously a quick rundown of how it works. I've chosen an NRL player. They must be a current NRL player. They have to have played over 50 games or 50 or more games. You have 20 questions to try and guess who they are. I can only give you yes or no answers. You have to guess after that 20 questions, and if you get it right, you get bought a beer at the football.
That's the big thing that everyone wants. Screw premierships. Get me that beer at the football.
That
That's all
beer.
I want.
Yeah.
It tastes so much better. Like, there is actually something that's in it that just tastes better.
It is. Yeah. Free beer. It's one of life's simplest joys.
Absolutely.
You don't get it that often.
Yeah.
But when you do...
Yeah.
All right, we'll kick this off. You get us started.
All right. Okay, are you an Origin player?
No.
Are you... under 25 years old?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been with a successful team? Is in a team that's won... it's not won, but a team that's made the eight in the past couple of years?
Yes.
Okay. Does your team... Have you only been with one team in your career?
No.
Are you considered a good player? I know it's a bit of an out there a question that's hard to answer.
Would you like my personal opinion?
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You deserve to be playing regular NRL football. I'll say that. Okay. So, yeah, that rules out a few players.
It does,
of. It's obviously, yeah.
Okay. Let's... try and narrow it down a bit.
That is five for anyone playing at home. That's five questions gone now. Five out of 20.
Are you Australian?
Yes.
Have you played in City Country?
Yes.
Do you play in the forwards?
Yes.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark.
Okay.
Just to try and get it in under 10. Are you reading Campbell Gillard?
No.
Damn it. So the City Country question is a silly question because everyone plays City Country.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, are you... Are you a player that's been pegged in the media as someone that's going to play Origin football?
I'm gonna say yes, but I'm gonna say it with a little asterisk. In the past, oh. Probably not last season.
Okay.
Going back the last couple of years, you're talked about as a future Origin player. Not a lot, but it's definitely.
Okay, all right.
So I wouldn't hang on that.
Yeah, yeah. I guess any player that comes in and has like a decent first game, everyone says he's going to play Origin one day, though.
Yes. In brackets, Jack Bird.
Oh, you know.
Like five games in. He's already an Australian international.
He's going to be immortal, right?
Yeah.
That is
now 10 questions as okay. well.
Yeah. You play for a successful club.
So your club has made the top eight.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, in the past few years. Have you had a change? Like, has your club had a change of coach recently?
Your current no.
No. Okay. Are you a Queensland club? Are they?
No.
Sorry, no. Okay. Are they a Sydney club?
No.
It's got to be. Do you play for the Melbourne? Wait, the Storm?
Yes.
Okay, good.
The Melbourne.
Okay.
Just on a side note, there are other teams that aren't from Sydney that are from New South
yeah.
Wales.
No. Okay. I just, yeah.
That's now 15 questions, five okay. remaining. So, five questions to work out which Storm player.
Yeah, that's under 25, is Australian, has been talked about for Origin.
Again, don't hang on that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's obviously, you yeah. may not have read the one article that I read.
And you're playing the forwards as well.
Yes.
Jeez. There's going to be listeners at home that are just going to be screaming right now.
Especially if it's this player.
Is it Dale Finucane?
It is Dale Finucane.
Yeah.
Well done.
That was a good one,
well
actually.
Well done. Well, that's a free
someone
beer for
got
you.
A beer. Nice. Yeah,
that's... You came... I thought... I was thinking around the 12 question mark.
Yeah.
You're gone. I thought you were out of questions. I thought there's no chance here.
He basically fell off the face of the earth for a little bit. Like, after he went to Melbourne, I followed him for like the first five games and he just really didn't do much for them.
Yeah. I think he either got injured or suspended and missed a few games. And obviously he wasn't getting as much game time at Melbourne, which I think he went there for.
Yeah.
I think he went there looking to be a starting player and he hasn't...
I think they wanted to use him like that, but he just didn't perform.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Who knows? But obviously, yeah, it wasn't the best move. Maybe it'll turn out well for him. Who knows?
How old is he?
He's 24.
Okay, wow, yeah.
Younger than he seems, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
He played for the Bulldogs for quite a few seasons there.
He plays like an older player. I think that's the big thing. He's not one of these flashy players that's come through.
He doesn't get caught in the nightclubs every weekend. No, well done. So,
thank you.
Beer to you. And then next week, obviously, hopefully I can get you back and recoup my losses.
Absolutely.
All right, that's 20 questions done. So we're on to our last segment now.
Okay.
It's Max 2-minute rant time. I'm going to pass the mic over to you. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy.
Okay, this is going to be an interesting one. It's Mitchell Pearce and the Roosters is where I'm going to start off on. He's come back after a 4-week time in rehab. And I'm sorry, but rehab to me has got to be more than 4 weeks. You can't go and say, I've got a drinking problem and all this sort of stuff, and then go and sit out in Chiang Mai, Thailand, for 4 weeks and listen to heroin addicts and ice addicts talk about their problems and then come back and say, I'm sorry. After what he's done, not only this time, but previous times as well, it seems like there needs to be more that's going to happen. And it sounds like the NRL really wants to do that, but the Roosters are the ones that are standing in the way. And I just think it's ridiculous. I think the NRL needs to take a stand. They need to get rid of these players that just have they don't want to take it, you know, try to really, I guess, represent their club, represent their country, represent their state, which he's in a position to do so. He came back and he said things like, I was the captain of my club. He said that multiple times. And I thought, yeah, you were. But you were as well the last time you did this. You also represent your state, which you didn't mention. You let your dad down, which is so very true, because he's someone that's in a very big position that everyone, you know, respects. And every single time he's got to deal with a news article, which is just, it's ridiculous. When do you draw the line? And I think for me, it's got to be this time. There needs to be a significant ban for this. And I think it needs to really, really send a message, not only to Mitchell Pearce, but to every other player that thinks about acting like an idiot on the weekend. That really brings me to my next point, which is Laurie Daly, who's come out and said, hey, I'd still pick Mitchell Pearce. My question is, A, on form, how do you even remotely do that in terms of his state of origin form, not his club form? It's been almost a decade now, I think, of him terrorising Blues fans. But also just the fact that last year, the year before that, the business with the yellow dress happened, and Laurie Daly said, no, this is too much, I'm not going to pick him, and all that sort of stuff. And now something that, in my opinion, is far worse, where he's been videotaped assaulting a woman, essentially, by forcing himself onto her, performing lewd acts with a dog, and just basically acting like an idiot when he is in that role of leadership. I think, really, Laurie Daly needs to line up with the NRL and say, no, enough is enough, you're done. And that ends my rant.
All right, you're all ranted out for this week.
The blood pressure rose, but I'm okay.
Yeah. You're getting red.
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
I think I'm doing a podcast with a tomato here for a moment. All right, well, that's our debut podcast out of the way. Have you had fun, Mac?
I have. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, we've got a lot off my chest. Yeah.
It's good fun. Yeah. Well, I hope you'll enjoy us with some more fun next week. We're on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, etc. So go give us a follow or a like on there.
Yeah.
Enjoy the footy this weekend.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you next week.
Awesome. All right, thanks, guys.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.